right, well, I'll invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of John again. A few more times we'll be in the Gospel of John. What a beautiful day the Lord has given us to gather together and worship Him. What a wonderful time of worship and song. Thank you to the ladies for helping me out. Thank you to you all for your wonderful singing. So today we are going to continue in our series on the I Am sayings of Jesus. You might remember when we started this series, I mentioned that John had carefully arranged his material. John was a master writer, and he organized his material in a specific way, primarily so that people would know who Jesus is. This is the question John wants to be sure that you can answer when you get to the end of his gospel. He wants to be sure that you know who Jesus is. And so he includes seven signs that Jesus performed. We're actually going to consider, well, in 2 weeks, we'll consider the last of those signs that John records. And so he includes seven signs that point to who Jesus is and seven sayings. And in these sayings so far, Jesus has used a couple of metaphors to teach us about who he is. And so he first compared himself to bread. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And as the bread of life, he provides salvation and satisfaction for those who come to him and eat the bread, as it were, which is to say, trust in him for salvation. He then compared himself to light, saying, "I am the light of the world." And by this, he wanted us to understand that he reveals to us who God is. He leads us just as a light leads, and he provides life. Again, you'll see in each of these, he's pointing to the fact that he is the one who gives life, and him alone. Now, today we come to John chapter 10. And in John chapter 10, Jesus uses a third metaphor to help us understand who he is, and that metaphor is a door. So he's compared himself to bread, and he's compared himself to light, and now, for all you carpenters out there, he compares himself to a door. Now, this is a difficult text to divide up. I had a tough time deciding how to deal with this because the overall metaphor in this section, in this passage, is actually not one of a door. The overall metaphor is that of a shepherd. But of course, a shepherd has sheep. And so as we come to our text today, we're going to read through verses 1 through 6, where the metaphor of shepherd and sheep is introduced, and Jesus focuses on his followers as sheep. And then we'll get to verse 6, which is kind of the middle of our text today. And at that point, Jesus shifts things a little bit. It seems people are confused about what he's saying, so he mixes his metaphors, which we often think is something you're not supposed to do, but of course he's Jesus, so he's allowed to mix metaphors. And he brings up the metaphor of a door. And of course, this metaphor that he mixes with the shepherd sheep metaphor is not truly a mixed metaphor because it's related to the metaphor that he's dealing with as a whole, that is shepherd and the sheep. So with that as an introduction, we'll go to John chapter 10. This is the word of God. John chapter 10, I'm going to read verses 1 through 9. Jesus speaking says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Now, you might remember if you were here last week, we ended our sermon in John chapter 9. And we were in John chapter 8 and Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And we ended our sermon, though, in John chapter 9 when Jesus a second time says, "I am the light of the world." And then he heals a blind man. What a wonderful illustration of what he means by I am the light of the world. He opens his eyes so that now this man may see. But of course, this caused quite a ruckus amongst the religious leaders of Jesus' day. I'm sure you remember the religious leaders in Jesus' day did not like Jesus. They hated him, in fact, and they weren't too crazy about people who liked Jesus either. So they hear about this man being born blind, and they call him before them, and they question him about what happened. Now, it turns out they didn't like his answer. They didn't like what he said. And so they called his parents, and they wanted to question this man who had been healed of blindness. So they call his parents, and this is what happens. In John chapter 9, verse 20, it says, his parents answered. They were being questioned about how this healing took place. He says, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. And then we get a nice little parenthesis. John includes something that's very important for us to know. He says, his parents said these things because they feared the Jews. That is, the religious leaders. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. This was the problem that faced his parents of this blind man that day. They were worried that the religious leaders were going to kick them out of the synagogue. And so what we find here is that the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they thought that they decided who was in and who was out. They had determined that they would demand obedience to them and to their special commands. They had decided that they would determine what your identity was. In fact, what they thought was that they were the door to the kingdom of God. And in this context, Jesus says, I am the door. All right, so with that, we come to our text. And I want to discuss three things that we find in this text, what Jesus is saying as the door. The first thing is that he decides who is in. Now, our text begins, well, we get one in verse 1 and then one in verse 7. We're focusing on verses 7 through 9 here. It begins with a double truly. Truly, truly. Or maybe your Bible says, verily, verily. Or you could translate it, amen, amen. In other words, what this is that this is an indicator that whatever is about to be said, you really want to pay attention to what is about to be heard, what is about to be said. You can say, truly, I say to you this. That means you really should listen up. You say, truly, truly, that means you really should listen up. So what Jesus says here is, I am the door of the sheep. Now, before we get to what the door of the sheep is, let me remind you again what Jesus is saying when he says, I am. We sang this morning in a song, he is the great I am. Why do we say that? Well, we say that because I am, by saying I am, this is a thinly veiled attempt to identify himself with the God of the Old Testament, the one and only true God. When Moses stood before God, Moses said to him, who shall I say sent me? And he said, tell him, I am has sent you. And so now Jesus says, I am. So this is him identifying himself as the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, same in essence, equal in power and glory to the Father and to the Spirit. I repeat that phrase every week, and I will try to continue to do so. He is identifying himself as the Son of God, Jesus Christ, same in essence and equal in power and glory to the Father and to the Spirit. He is claiming to be God. And this is why we refer to these as the I am sayings. Now, he said, I am the bread of life, John 6:35, and he said, I am the light of the world. And now he says, I am the door of the sheep. Now, if we want to understand what he means by door of the sheep, we might want to consider what kind of sheep pens they had back in first century Palestine. I don't know how much you know about shepherding sheep. I don't think we have any shepherds here. We have some with the last name of shepherds, but I don't think that's by trade. So I don't know what you know about shepherding sheep, especially in the first century, but I looked up some things so that we might better understand what Jesus is talking about. I found out there's actually different kinds of sheepfolds. There's this one kind of sheepfold where it's a large structure with high walls, and there was one gatekeeper who would watch over the gate, and different shepherds would bring their sheep to this sheepfold for the night, and then they would come and get them the next day. Now, there's another kind of sheep pen that I find fascinating. And this was a sheep pen that was just basically made by large boulders. You put large boulders in a circle, and then you'd just leave a space for the sheep to go in and out of. But if the shepherd wanted to keep the sheep in, guess what he did? He actually laid across the opening and slept there. In other words, he literally became the door of the sheep. That's pretty interesting, I must say. And I must admit also, I'm not sure exactly what kind of sheep pen that Jesus had in mind. I don't know what kind of sheep pen the listeners had in mind. And I'm not sure it's that important because really, in fact, he's using door as a metaphor. And we all know what a door is for, right? You enter in through the door. Everybody who is in this room this morning came in through a door. So a door is to enter into. And when Jesus comes, he says, "I am the door of the sheep." Now, one thing that's important to recognize about sheep pens is that in general, a good sheep pen only has one door, right? Because if there's only one shepherd, you know, he can take care of his sheep better if there's only one door. And so Jesus comes along and he says, "I am the door of the sheep." He doesn't say, "I am a door of the sheep." He says, "I am the door of the sheep." He is claiming exclusivity. He is saying, if you want into the sheepfold of God, there is only one way in, only one door, and I am the door. Now, if you're familiar with Scripture at all, and especially the Old Testament, then you know that it's very common for God's people to be referred to as sheep. You see it all throughout the Old Testament. God's people are referred to as the flock of God. They're referred to as his sheep. And they're referred to as those who occupy his pasture. We see this in the historical books. We see this in the prophetic books. And we see this in the poetic books. If you want examples, feel free to see me after. I have some jotted down in my notes. But then as we come to this metaphor, we shouldn't be surprised by this when Jesus carries on the sheep motif in reference to his people. And here in John 10, I think the first and most primary lesson that he is trying to teach when he says, "I am the door of the sheep," is that he is saying you cannot become one of Jesus' sheep, that is a child of God, unless you enter the sheepfold through Jesus. You cannot enter through Buddha or Muhammad. You cannot enter through a political party or through membership in a political party. You cannot enter, the religious leaders do not decide who gets to be in God's kingdom. Your family and friends do not decide whether you are in or whether you are out. There is only one way into the kingdom of God. There is only one door. And Jesus is that door. So the first point is not unlike what we learned when we looked at John chapter 6, when he says, "I am the bread of life." The only way to find life eternal is to eat the bread, is to trust in Jesus. Likewise here, if you want to be in Jesus' sheepfold, you must enter through Jesus. There is no other way to become one of Jesus' sheep other than repenting of your sin and trusting in Jesus alone. So he decides who is in and who is out. Not anybody else. He does. Second of all, he demands obedience. So in verse 8, he says, "All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them." So the sheep doesn't listen to thieves and robbers. So, of course, when we come to this, we have to ask ourselves, who are the thieves and robbers that Jesus is talking about here? Well, some suggest that the thieves and robbers were messianic pretenders, sort of like the David Koreshes of Jesus' day. You know, they claim to be Messiah. They claim to be someone who can show you how to have eternal life. Even, in fact, someone who can give you eternal life. You know, I did a little bit of research and found a very interesting thing. Do you know that David Koresh's name was not actually David Koresh? He changed his name to David Koresh. And do you know why? Well, Koresh apparently is English form of the word Cyrus. Now, I don't know how much you know about Cyrus, but Cyrus was a character amongst in the Old Testament that was seen as one who came to deliver God's people. He brought God's people out of captivity. And then David, well, we're waiting for the Messiah who would come from the line of David. He actually thought that he was going to set up David's kingdom, the kingdom of God here on earth. So some people think that these thieves and robbers were messianic pretenders. There were these who were in Jesus' day who would come along and claim to be the Messiah. Now there's others who think that this is a reference to the religious leaders, the Pharisees of Jesus' day. They think this is a jab against them as Jesus is speaking. I'm not absolutely sure which it is. Whoever the thieves and robbers are, though, it's clear that they were looking out for their own good. They were not looking out for the good of the sheep. You know, you don't look for somebody to work for you and you say, looking for somebody very dishonest, thief and robber. No, that's somebody who's looking out for their own good. It's looking for it's somebody who's only looking out to please themselves. They take, and don't give. But Jesus says, no, his sheep do not listen to them. You say, why is it that Jesus' sheep don't listen to either religious leaders who are looking out for their own good or false teachers or messianic pretenders? Why is it that Jesus' sheep do not actually listen to them? Well, it's right back up in verse 4. In verse 4, it says, when he has brought out all his own, that is when the shepherd has brought out his sheep, he goes before him and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. If in fact you have heard the voice of the Lord Jesus, then you have become one of his sheep, you will follow Jesus. You won't follow false teachers. You won't follow messianic pretenders. You will follow Jesus. Because when you enter through the sheep door, when you enter into the sheepfold of God, you start walking on a specific path. Jesus talks about that path in one of his most famous sermons. He says, enter by the narrow gate. Gate, door, same thing. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Notice then that we don't walk down the narrow road and then walk through the narrow gate. We walk through the narrow gate and then we walk on the narrow road. That's a very important point to realize. In other words, we don't walk a certain way so that we can then get to the door and we say, well, look, you know, can I get in? I live like this. No, it's not that way. You have to walk through the door and then you start walking a certain way. Christians do not obey Christ so that we will be accepted by Christ. We are accepted by Christ, so we obey Christ. In other words, we don't listen to the world when it concerns matters of sexuality and ethics. We listen to Jesus. We don't listen to prosperity preachers when it comes to finances. We listen to Jesus. We don't go to social media or to the TV to find out what's important. We go to Jesus. We follow Jesus. We listen to Jesus and we obey Jesus. That's what his sheep do. Now, there's some people who claim to be Jesus' sheep who don't do that. They say, yes, I'm a Christian, but then we look at the way they live and they don't live as though they want to follow Jesus. And you say, why is that? Well, Paul explains it to young Timothy when he says that many professing Christians have itching ears and they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. In other words, he says there are people who claim to be Christians who do not follow Jesus. And in fact, what we discover is that they are not Christians because they didn't enter the door of the sheep. Because if you enter the door of the sheep, then you begin walking on the road with the shepherd leading the sheep. And so you follow and obey Jesus. He demands obedience. Now this road is narrow for a reason. It means it's difficult. It's not always easy. It sometimes calls for suffering and it always calls for sacrifice. You sometimes might lose friends or family walking on this road. You will most certainly be called to do hard things if you live on this road. There's that wide road. You can walk on that wide road. It's real simple. You get to do whatever you want when you're on that road. If it feels good, do it, would be the motto of the wide road. But that road leads to death. All those who enter through the door, we live on the narrow road. We walk on the narrow road. We follow Jesus. And sometimes we're surprised when things get tough. But we shouldn't be surprised. Do you know what Jesus says in John 15? He says, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. Now, if you were of the world, that is, if you were living on the wide road, the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. So just so we're clear, enter through the door of Jesus. Come to Jesus, trust alone in Jesus. Walk through the door and become one of the sheep who belongs to God. But understand that this door leads to a difficult road, a tough life, a hard walk. There's no other way about it. Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we're perfect when it comes to keeping God's commandments, does it? But it does mean that we desire perfection and we pursue perfection, and our life's goal is holiness. This is what we pursue as sheep who belong to God. We do not listen to thieves and robbers looking out for their own good. We don't listen to strangers, that is, people who speak things contrary to God's word. We listen to and we obey Jesus. We follow Jesus because we love Jesus and because we have entered the sheepfold of God through Jesus. So then he decides who is in and who is out. He demands obedience, and finally, he determines identity. Now, as we come to the end of our passage, not the end of our sermon, but to the end of our passage, we come to some language that sometimes makes people uncomfortable. It seems that people aren't usually too upset about somebody saying, I've become a Christian. You know, or sometimes people say, I've asked Jesus into my heart, not exactly sure what that means. But people don't have so much of a problem with some of that language. You know, I've been converted. Yeah, that's okay. I've given my life to God. Yeah, everybody's good with that. But sometimes people object to this terminology that Jesus used, this salvation terminology. For some reason it makes people uncomfortable when you say, I got saved. Because, of course, you know what that then indicates? That if they're not a Christian, they're not saved. And so sometimes people object to this salvation language, but here Jesus, he doesn't leave any other way about it. He says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Now, of course, if somebody hears you talking about, I just got saved, what's the most logical question? What did you get saved from? Right? Of course, we want to know what you got saved from. Well, if we go back to the sheepfold and door metaphor, what happens if a sheep does not have a door to enter into the sheepfold? What if a sheep is left to himself with no walls? What if a sheep is left vulnerable with no one to protect him and no sheep pen? Well, of course, the sheep is susceptible to danger and maybe even death, right? Now, the problem with this is that if you do not enter through the sheepfold of God, you're not a sheep. You're a goat. You're not saved. You see, the problem is that we are sinners. And as sinners, we deserve the penalty for our sins is death. That's what we have to pay. That is the consequence. That is, as you probably memorized in the King James, that is the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. That is what you must pay. Now, Jesus says that he has come that we may have life and have it abundantly. In other words, he's saying if it weren't for Jesus, we would all face death. That's all there is, because we are all sinners. We would remain dead in our trespasses and sins, and we would face the consequences of such sins, which would be death and the wrath of God poured out on us for eternity. Jesus put it like this in Matthew 25. He says, when the Son of Man, that's one of his favorite references to himself, comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations. This is a glorious time. Jesus has returned and all nations come before him. And he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. And then the king, that's Jesus, will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then he will say to those on the left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And these on his left, the goats, will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Now I just share a portion of that passage. There's much more that's there, and there's much more that could be said. I would encourage you to go and read Matthew 25, starting in verse 31, right through to the end of the chapter later on today. But to keep us on point here, I want us to just notice two things from that passage. Just two things. The first thing is that there are two kinds of people in this world, and only two. Not three, not four, not six. Not one. There are sheep and there are goats. That's all there is to it. When Jesus calls all the nations before him, there's only two kinds of people there. There's sheep on his right and goats on his left. Okay, as is clear from our text today, the sheep are those who have come to Jesus. They have entered the sheepfold through Jesus, repenting of their sins and trusting in Jesus as their Savior and their Lord. Those are the sheep. The goats are those who do not come to Jesus. Now, they may say they've come to Jesus. Some do. But goats are those who do not trust in Jesus alone for their salvation. Now, the second thing we need to notice is that in the end, the goats, they face eternal punishment for their sins. This is clearly what Jesus says in Matthew 25. While the sheep are saved from the punishment for their sins, and as such are deemed righteous. It says the righteous shall go to eternal life. You say, wow, those righteous, they are some good people. Man, they must have done some real good in their lives. I'm sure they went to church every Sunday. And man, they probably dumped half their wages into the offering plate. Man, those are some very, very righteous people. But that's not right at all. That's not how they became righteous at all. It's not their own righteousness that they have. They're not called righteous because they're better than you or me or anybody else. They are called righteous because Jesus is better than the lot of us. And they have the righteousness of Christ. What Jesus did is that he took the sins of the sheep on himself. He was perfectly righteous, but he took their sins on him, died for their sins, and then rose from the grave so that he can then exchange their sins for his righteousness. And so now they're called righteous because they have the righteousness of Christ. We see this clearly in 2 Corinthians 5:21. So now because of what Jesus did, because of his blood, the author of Hebrews says, we have access to come into the presence of God. That's how we come through the door, because of the blood of the Lord Jesus. And so we are made righteous, and we can come to him only by his blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But because of the blood of Jesus, because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can become sheep. We can draw near to a holy God. Can you imagine? We just sang, holy, 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 and here we are coming into his presence. He accepts our worship. He, like Jacob said, the only reason that our offering is acceptable is because God has made it acceptable. The only reason that our entire life lived in worship to him is acceptable to him is because he has made us acceptable in Christ. Nothing we can do can make us acceptable. Isn't that great news? Well, actually, it's terrible news. Nothing we can do can make us acceptable. But the great news is that what Jesus has done has made us acceptable. So the door saves and the door secures. We see in verse 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now, some people look at this and they want to take the metaphor too far. You got to be careful with metaphors, right? We all learn that in English class. You got to be careful with metaphors and with parables. You don't want to get too much from them. Because I've just been talking about how you become one of the sheep by entering through the door of Jesus. And now it says you can go in and out. And then there's those people who say, oh, well, that means I can get saved and I can get unsaved. You know, the people that come down to the front of the church every single Sunday and pray the sinner's prayer week after week after week, get baptized and rebaptized and rebaptized because they go in and they go out. That's not at all what is being said here. And I mean, we don't even have to leave this chapter. We can go down to the end of John chapter 10, verse 28. And Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. In other words, once you're in the sheepfold, there's no getting out. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So then sticking with this metaphor, to go in and out is actually speaking of the security that we have in Jesus. In other words, sheep don't stop being sheep. I don't know much about shepherding sheep, but I know if you leave and those sheep are sheep and you come back, those sheep are still going to be sheep. They can go out of the pasture. They can come in. They can do what sheep do, but they don't ever stop being sheep. So to go in and out then is a sign of freedom. It's saying that they can live as they were created to live. We can be sheep. What is that song? I just want to be a sheep. I don't know how the rest of it goes. Don't go and check it for theology. Maybe it's good, maybe it's not. But that's what we are. We're sheep. And if you've become a sheep, you can never stop being a sheep. Oh, my soul, that's good news. Yeah, that's why we can't save ourselves. Because if we could save ourselves, then guess what? We could unsave ourselves. But because God saves, what he does can't be undone. We cannot be removed from his sheepfold. Once a sheep, always a sheep. You need only remember that you have entered through the door. If you've entered through the door, who of course is Jesus, then you are a sheep. You can live as you were created to live. Once Jesus has identified you as one of his sheep, once he has said, boom, that's my sheep. He never says, I don't know. You've been pretty good this week, but not as good as last week. Maybe not a sheep anymore. Never, 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 never. When he looks at you and he says, sheep, 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 that's it. It's done. It's declared. Never to go back again. God will always care for his sheep, always give them security as they come and as they go, as they live their life, because they have entered through the door. He determines their identity. Now, let me tell you about one of Jesus' sheep. I mentioned him earlier on. He was a blind man, I said. This was what the scriptures say. He was a blind man, and he was healed by Jesus. Now, I said the religious leaders, they questioned him, and then they questioned his parents, and then they questioned him again. And they said, now listen here, buddy. Tell us again, how did it happen? How did Jesus open your eyes? This is what happened in John 9, verse 27. You can read along. He answered, I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Oh, I love this. Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciples, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, Jesus, we do not know where he comes from. Now, the blind man who was healed, he answered, why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. They say, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And they answered him, you were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. That would be a sad story if that's where it ended. You see, the religious leaders, they thought that they decided who was in or who was out. They thought that they are the ones who should demand obedience to their commands. They had thought that they would determine somebody's identity. They thought that they were the door. They were wrong. They were so, so wrong. Listen to what happened after the religious leaders cast the man out of the synagogue. Picking up down in verse 35, Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, and who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Don't you just love that? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Where is he? I got to see this guy. Jesus said to him, you have seen him. And it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him. Goosebumps, right? This man is cast out by the religious leaders. He went, what is going on in this world? He's thinking. This morning I couldn't see a thing, and now I can see everything. I meet this guy. I mean, people don't just make people see. This doesn't happen. And then he finds himself cast out of the synagogue. Yeah, there's no place here for you, the religious leaders say. And Jesus found him. He didn't have to. Oh, no. He could have let him go. But he didn't. He found him. And that man that day believed that Jesus was who he said he was, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. And he entered through the door. He trusted alone in Jesus. He believed. And he worshiped Jesus. So then the question is simple this morning. It's straightforward. Are you in the sheepfold or are you not? Are you a sheep or are you a goat? If you have entered the sheepfold through the Lord Jesus by his blood, then thank Jesus today that he found you. And then accept his marching orders. If you've entered through the door, then walk the road. Follow Jesus. Obey Jesus. Live like one of his sheep. Listen to his voice and those who speak his voice to you. Follow Jesus and follow those who are following Jesus. Trust and obey Jesus. For there's no other way than live a life of hope and security, knowing that Jesus will always lead you, will always care for you, because he is not only the door of the sheep, he is also the shepherd.